Again, welcome to our virtual and virtuous Sunday service. Just so you know, we're still working out some of the tech details. It may not be perfect, but we're working on it. We're hoping to get a little better each week and then continue this after the quarantine, because a lot of people are appreciating being able to stay home in their pajamas, snuggled up to their pets, like Lonnie said, and being able to watch the service. We still want you to come here, but if you, for some reason, need to stay home, then this will be an option for you. Speaking of the Facebook community, a couple days ago, I posted a question on Facebook asking people to help me with the talk. And the question was, how is love asking you to grow? And I got such beautiful responses to that that I wanted to share it with you. I tried to get everybody. If you posted after I left for work this morning, then I didn't catch you, but people will still be able to read your post. So, pretty quickly, because there's a lot of them, Dot is being told to surrender everything and everyone and to access her breath for all. Susie is patiently breathing through fear and anger. Susan is letting go of being cranky and judgmental and remaining grateful. Debbie, love has told her to stop resisting what is. Bill is to know a flow of gratitude and trust, to love what's hard to love. Taylor is to feel things even when she doesn't understand, trusting the process and knowing that everything has its purpose, embracing safety no matter what. Jan has been advised by love to find the courage to fight to keep her clinic open and to continue helping children. Nick, to be less self-centered, say yes to right action. Nancy, love asks only to be spread like a virus. Rita, to know that love is a miracle. Chris, love has told him to serve in the form of teaching, helping people cope, making gowns, and practicing kindness, recognizing the pain of others, and offering help. Love is calling in the many faces of love. Bernie has been directed by love to slow down, be present, be mindful, and expand in service. Stephanie, trust as her daughter is quarantined in New York. Karina, surrender the need to control, trust, and allow God to guide. Jennifer, enough. She can't keep the emotional high all the time. Monica, offering being in service. Carol, trusting more, worrying less. Heather, one foot in front of the other. Donna, to be more adaptable. Michelle, to be of service. How she needs to hear a voice and listen and problem solve and provide encouragement and practice being here now and practice relationships. Marie, to see God in everything and know that love is the answer. Sue, to grow outside her comfort zone, to be of service in many ways, to call people instead of texting them. Chris feels connected by reading all of these posts. Gina, to come back home and be more present. Janet, to practice forgiveness. Everyone is wearing a mask, protecting and hiding, and to see behind the masks, remove her own masks, and reveal holiness. Fran from Iran, compassion to self and others. Jackie, take time to spread love, kindness, compassion, listening. Margot, take time for sacred pause. Shelley, trust and surrender control. Deborah, act kindly and thoughtfully. Patient with others, saying thank you. Meenal, clearly voicing boundaries and giving herself permission to leave a Zoom call if it's not working for her. More attunement to how she is resourced, to how resourced she is. Patty, reaching out to people, following guidelines, protecting self and others, expanding her mind, feeling okay about binge watching. Hello. Tobias, to be extra loving and patient, practice true deep listening. Gail, love has reintroduced her to her sewing machine, making masks for non-medical essential family and friends. And Meggie, honoring her body with good food and water, engaging in loving self-care activities, and being fully present to her feelings. Now, there were lots of themes in that, so many, many themes that jumped out at me, but the one theme that really stands out after reading all of that and seeing the love that is just jumping off the page on Facebook is that we are a community. We are a community that is stronger than quarantine. Our community is greater than quarantine, and we will get through this. We will prevail, and we will come out stronger on the other side. Yes. Absolutely. Thank you for that. Yes, Margaret. So we're all doing the work of community from afar, knowing that something like a sanction or a quarantine can't limit love. Love is a limitless power. And I'm so delighted to say these words to you today because this is a Power Sunday. This is Palm Sunday. I forgot until the very last minute. It's Palm Sunday, which is a Sunday that is about the journey of Jesus into Jerusalem, knowing that he was going to get crucified one step in front of the other, moving from life to death to resurrection. We are all doing the same all of the time. And it's also the Sunday before Passover. Passover starts on April 8th, Wednesday evening, and that is another great story about freedom from bondage. First, people were free to make the decision to enslave people. Ernest Holmes says that we are bound because we are first free, but within that context of slavery, the Hebrew slaves found their own freedom, and they escaped from bondage through the practice of freedom, through the religious and relentless practice of freedom. And that's what I see for us here. We may feel bound by certain circumstances, but we are being called to a greater expression of freedom, a greater expression of love, a greater expression of death and resurrection. And we are here to embody all of that and affirm it, make it firm, make it plain, make it real in the world. Amen, hallelujah, make it plain. That's what they used to say in North Carolina. Make it plain. Preach, sister. Hope you're loving that at home. So that's what we're doing today. We are celebrating the grace of what is, even if it comes in weird disguises, because these are completely odd and weird times. I'm sure none of you expected to be encountering this in our lifetimes. I know I didn't, but we'll get to more on that later. I want to start by jumping into it's an aspect of the idea of surrender, but it's the idea of several people on the list that I read mentioned surrendering control. Who in our studio audience or in our virtual audience likes to control things? Let's have a show of thumbs, or if you're shy, a show of pinkies. Not that anybody can see you at home, but okay, so I'm assuming pretty much everybody, all 10 of the people in the house, raised their hands, so I think a lot of us are committed to control. And what I've observed, you know, I'm fascinated by people talking about what caused this. Who's at fault? I know last week I spoke about that one of the Kardashians, it was, I don't know, Kim or Chloe, or I know her name began with a K, whatever, but she said that God caused this, that God was pissed at us, that God was mad at us, and he caused this pandemic to rain down upon us. And other people are saying that God is sticking us in the corner or giving us a punishment. And others are saying, like myself, that it's a great opportunity, that the universe has caused us to step back and take a great look at what is going on. I would like to take us a little deeper with those causes today, because I think really sometimes trying to figure out a cause where we don't really know what the cause is puts us in a place of trying to control. It's a subtle form of control. So let me throw this out there and see if you think of this as a possible explanation for why we're going through this situation right now. We've talked about Judaism. We've talked about Christianity. I was wearing a Hindu necklace, but I took it off. But I'm going to talk a little bit about Buddhism. Buddhism. There's a story from the teachings of Buddhism, a legend, where it says that a woman went to the Buddha one day and she was bereft because she had experienced a death in her family, the death of her son. And she was so sad, and she said, Buddha, you have to fix this. You have to fix this for me. And he said, okay, I will. But the first thing that you have to do before I fix this for you is you must go into your village and go into every home and bring me back a white mustard seed from any family that has not experienced death, illness, or suffering. And so the woman knocked on the doors of all of her neighbors and everybody that she encountered had experienced death, illness, or suffering. That's not an unusual concept for all of us, although as the reading said, we like to pretend that it doesn't apply to us. I believe Woody Allen said that too. But we've all experienced death and illness and suffering. And somehow this woman, when she returned to the Buddha, knowing that this was a natural process in life, death, illness, suffering, not necessarily in that order, that it made her feel better. It comforted her because she was able to accept the nature of being. So what I would say is that the cause of pandemics, the cause of illness, the cause of suffering, the cause of death is life.
Amen.
Amen. It happens. You know, it just happens. It's part of what we do. But the other part of what we do, because we wrestle with impermanence, is that we recognize that impermanence in itself is paradoxical. Because impermanence, while it makes life precious, impermanence is also a permanent condition. It is always going on all of the time, impermanence. And underneath these waves of impermanence, there is this changeless being that emanates all of the impermanent conditions. And so we identify with the changeless being. A mystical teacher like Rupert Spira would say that coronavirus or anything else that comes up in life, whether it's something that we would label good or bad, that it is something that just emerges from the sea of awareness. The sea of awareness is the only reality, and awareness projects itself into all of these different experiences. It's a little abstract, I know, for us to get. There is a place that is placid within everyone, within the universe. It is, what's that quote, that it the universe, only the finite has wrought and suffered, the infinite lies stretched in smiling repose. And sometimes we use that quote in a way to tell ourselves that we should be in smiling repose even when we're not, that we should be comfortable and we should be happy even when we're feeling afraid. And that's not what that means. What I think it means, this whole idea about awareness being everything, awareness arising out of itself to cause pandemics and health, to cause joy and sorrow, to create love and hatred out of itself, all of these opposites are like waves on the ocean. And the waves are important. The waves are beautiful. The waves are unique. The waves are the ocean. But underneath the waves, there is this depth that is still, stretched in smiling repose. And we can be either one. We can be the depth of the ocean, and we can be the waves, and either one is okay. It is all everything. It is all ocean. And I hope you're getting the metaphor here. It's the same thing with awareness. Awareness is this depth that is aware yet unaffected by anything that arises up within it. But the arisings are awareness too. And it's all perfect, and it's all as it should be. And we can surrender trying to control it, because it just is. We get to be, as I said last week, and as I say every Sunday, in love and in service to what is, as it is, and so it is. Another thing that came up on the list that I read, very close to control, the opposite of control, which is the desire to surrender. The desire to surrender. The kicking, screaming desire to surrender, even when we don't want to surrender sometimes. I get it. I get it that it's really hard. I get that these are hard times, and I don't mean to minimize what's going on with this virus, because it is. It is really tragic for people. And I, at this time, don't know anybody who has been deeply affected by it, but there are a lot of people that are dying from it, and people's lives are turned upside down, and there's economic issues and all kinds of things that cause a lot of fear within us. What I've observed in speaking with members of the congregation is that, okay, we've got this isolation, and we've got this quarantine, and we've got this fear, and we've got this despair, and we have all kinds of other things over here. And then I have talked with a lot of people this week that are also experiencing something else, some other tragedy in their life, a death of a loved one, a diagnosis, death, cancer, other things are not stopping for coronavirus. They just happen because, again, that is the nature of life. And I think one of the saddest things is when you have something like that going on and you're in quarantine and you have a family member that you know is dying and you can't go to them. That pulls at my heartstrings, and it has pulled at the heartstrings of many people that I've spoken to. You know, this is not really comparable to the death of a loved one, but last Sunday when I did the service, when I got here, the first thing I said to the volunteers was that my dog was very sick, my dog Saraswati, and I thought she might be dying. And I'm, you know, just thinking, oh man, timing, God, what are you thinking? Seriously, you know, that this could be happening right now when there's such limited support and all kinds of, you know, pain that we're all dealing with and all kinds of stress. It turns out she's okay. She was jumping off a cliff and she hurt her neck. And, you know, that's just the nature of the breed. But she was really sick when I came to church here last Sunday. Now, if I was into super control, you know, like some of us are, right, rather than surrendering, like some of us are, like I am, okay, let's put it that way. Perhaps being a good religious science minister, perhaps being a metaphysician, I would have gone to Sarah and said, Sarah, I see that you have a sprain in your neck. What was your mental equivalent? How did you create that illness for yourself? Could it be that you're a pain in the neck, right? Because she is. Many of you that have been on phone calls with me know that often prayers are punctuated by loud barking. I call it canine interruptus. It happens often when I'm on the phone with people. But, you know, we don't have that linear relationship between cause and effect that we want. It's things just happen because they happen. Vishlas get into physical issues because they are very rowdy and lively dogs. And like I said, death and cancer and having to be separate from people, that is just part of the infinite possibilities of life. Mm. But then, again, beneath all of that, there is hope. There is hope. Remember when I mentioned that one of the hardest things that people are experiencing is this thought that my loved one is dying and I can't be by their side? Well, I was chatting about that with my friend Mark LaPonce, who's a minister. He's my prayer partner. And he told me a story about a time back in the 80s when he was working for APLA, which was AIDS Project Los Angeles. That was when AIDS was considered a very different type of disease, when AIDS was killing a lot of people, and it changed the face of healthcare at that time. I remember because I was working in the hospitals at that time, and it was a somewhat brutal situation when it first started out. It's calmed down a bit since then. But speaking with Mark, he was taking care of this young man. I'll call him David. That's not his real name, but we'll call him David. And David was probably the most cheerful AIDS patient that Mark had ever worked with. Mark said he would be doing some horrible procedure with him, and David would be singing My Favorite Things from Sound of Music in a Julie Andrews voice, going, raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Whatever, go figure. And as he started losing consciousness, as he started going in and out of consciousness, Mark was physically present with him one time, and he reached out and he touched his hand and he said, David, I'm here. And David opened his eyes and he said, oh, you really are here this time. And what that meant was that when Mark was even thinking about David and sending love to David and sending thoughts and prayers of hope and healing to David and sending ideas of a gentle, gracious transition that enhanced the presence of love in the room, David could feel that. So what I'm suggesting is that in our desire to control and our desire to think that it needs to look this way, if my loved one is dying or if this thing is happening or that thing is happening and it needs to look this way, perhaps the universe, perhaps the infinite ocean of the universe has a greater idea. And what if we were just to surrender to that greater idea? That means letting go of control, letting go of the need to fix, and just surrendering. Love is asking us to work on surrendering. The other thing that came up from the list, which is a close second to surrender, it's hard to figure out which is which, but the other thing that came up was a lot of people were saying that they needed to trust. Trust seems to me to be essential to surrender, although sometimes you have to surrender when you don't trust. But trust does seem to be a component. You have to trust a little just to get off that cliff and be able to be lifted up by the idea of God. You know, I get, again, why it's hard to trust. This was so unexpected for so many of us, for I would say almost all of us, really. I did not think I would be encountering this in my lifetime. It felt like something like from the days of the bubonic plague or even the Spanish flu, which was in 1918. And I had a conversation with a friend who's a minister the other day. He works in Idaho, and his church is like ours. It's live stream now and pretty much shut down in other ways. And the first thing I said when I picked up the phone, first thing he said to me was, so is Ventura County all Lord of the Flies now? Is everybody like fighting for toilet paper and whatnot? And I said, well, not really. And then the second thing he said was, you know, I don't remember taking this class in the School of Ministry. How to run a church during a pandemic. I'm like, you know, I think I missed that one as well. Shocking as that may be. And it's not only me. All of us are making decisions about businesses and family gatherings and weddings. I just did a wedding yesterday that had to be canceled, but we Zoomed it. We did it in a legal manner, by the way, just in case some authority is listening. But we Zoomed it, and there are so many micro decisions that need to be made about how we're going to relate with this, to all of this, that it's throwing a lot of us off balance. But at the same time, it's calling us into deeper trust. You know, one of the things that I've discovered through this, and like I said, I didn't take this class in the School of Ministry, but I am oddly qualified as a former nurse and medical device person and singer, oddly, takes care of my voice all the time. I am oddly qualified to handle it, but there are still things that I just don't know how to do because I've never run a church during a pandemic. And there are many, many decisions that need to be made that I can't delegate. I can't always get the board at the drop of a hat because sometimes they're working or doing other things. But, you know, time after time, when I haven't known what to do, when I haven't known the solution, I've said to myself, don't worry about the solution. Just think about the next right thing. And that has been a lifesaver. And when the next right thing is seen through the lens of solution, this is just part of the solution. It may not be all of the solution, but this and the next step and the next step and the next step will lead to solution, will lead to the right thing, the overall right thing to do, then that becomes a powerful way to live through this experience and not only live through this experience, but to live through all experiences. So perhaps love is asking us to trust what is, and to trust, as we're making decisions, to trust the next right thing to do without being able to see the outcome down the line. It's been so powerful and so helpful. One other thing that's come up in the, well, a lot of things came up in the list, but another thing that came up for me boldly was the idea of service. On our website, you'll find lots and lots of opportunities to serve. Everything from making masks to serving at the shelters for the people that are vulnerable, some of our homeless brothers and sisters. I served at a shelter the other day, and I have to say, in 3 weeks, it was the most relaxing thing I had done because somebody else was in charge, they told you exactly what to do, and it felt safer than the grocery store. It is a lovely experience, and the people that are both running it and the people that are being served by it, it's a beautiful thing because we get to learn about others' experiences and recognize that we are all in this together. So, I want to end by just saying that I am so grateful for this community. You know, when I said before that we are going to get through this, I meant it. I absolutely know it. I'm not just like wildly affirming and hoping it's true. I absolutely know that we are going to get through this. And I know that we're going to get through this through the power of our consciousness, but also through the power of our love for one another. I'll say it again. Community is greater than quarantine. And we are that community, that center of love, where we aspire to be love, share love, and serve love. And boy, are we ever being called into practicing it right now. Let's practice. Let us pray.